You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 100.5 FM.
Marty and Martha Roth are here to discuss the film Inch'Allah, shown at the recent Vancouver International Film Festival. Made by a Quebec filmmaker, it offers a hard and painful view of life in the occupied Palestinian territories. Hello to both of you.
Good morning.
Now, what impressed you at the Vancouver International Film Festival?
Well, as you've just said, one of the best films that we saw at the festival this year was Inch'Allah, by filmmaker Anaïs Barbeau-Lavalette, who also wrote the film. You know, the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory has been grinding on now for 64 years, and it's produced, along with much misery, some very good films. And this, in my opinion, is one of the best I've seen. Barbeau-Lavalette is mainly a documentarian, and this is her first fiction film. We were deeply moved by it, both as a political statement and as a beautifully acted and photographed work of art.
What's the story of the film?
Well, the central character of Inch'Allah, which means more or less God willing, is a young Canadian doctor named Chloe, who lives in Jerusalem and works in Ramallah, the Palestinian capital. So every day she travels from her apartment through a military checkpoint to a Palestinian refugee settlement. At home, she's friendly with a young Israeli woman who is doing her military service. And at work, she becomes friends with one of her patients, a young pregnant mother named Rand, whose husband is imprisoned in Israel. Ron's husband is one of many Palestinian men who are held without charges, and Ron's only contact with him is by phone.
Chloe visits with Ron's family regularly. She grows close to her children, her mother, and her brother. But we also see her going out drinking and partying with her Israeli friends.
So what are the themes of the film?
Well, the film's main statement has to do with political neutrality. And as we read it, it says that there ain't no such thing. Mm. Neutrality may sound like a desirable goal, but it ends up supporting the more powerful player. Chloe's clinic, for example, provides valuable services to the community, but this is subject to the needs and whims of the occupying forces and can be closed down at a moment's notice when the IDF perceives a threat to Israeli security.
Sure. I mean, you pretend it's a level playing field, but it's not. One side has the greater power. We see young boys throwing stones at Israeli soldiers and yelling insults at them. And we also see a soldier in a jeep run down a young boy. Chloe views the daily cruelty of the Israeli occupation and the constant humiliation of the people of Ramallah. And although she sympathizes with it deeply, she tries to maintain her distance from it. I should say the constant humiliation of the people in the refugee camp in Ramallah. Chloe loses her composure only once when an obdurate border guard refuses to let the pregnant Rand through to a hospital. And that's a terrifically moving scene because Rand's brother tries to engage the soldier in chat about soccer, about the World Cup. And the soldier is tempted. You can see in his eyes he's tempted, but
falls back
training,
to the official line.
Right, his training kicks in, and he doesn't let her through.
Back in Jerusalem, Chloe's Israeli friends complain about how hard the situation is on them and how beleaguered they feel. Still, the dynamics of suffering and loss eventually overtake Chloe, and she finds herself acting in this drama rather than merely observing or sympathizing. We hope that the statement that there is no tenable neutral position in situations like these is accepted by the film's viewers as well.
And I would say that the second statement of intent in the film has to do with violent resistance to oppression, particularly in connection with the taboo category of suicide bombing. The West has done an excellent public relations job of pushing that topic, suicide bombing, into the category of unthinkable acts. Drone attacks and carpet bombing are deplorable but somehow necessary, but suicide bombing is an unacceptable act of terrorism.
The state invokes the difference between its own smart, targeted, precise, strategic violence and the indiscriminate violence of those others, those terrorists, as if collateral damage was not the name of the game, no matter who plays it.
Ron's husband in the film receives a harsh prison sentence, and after she gets the news, Ron goes into labor prematurely and loses her baby. We understand, viewing the film, that she has no chance for more children. She will be old by the time her husband is released from prison, and her subsequent choice of martyrdom is a grand statement of despair.
You know, the West has its own terrorist martyrs, most notably the biblical Samson. And it must be one of history's grandest ironies that the place where he brings down the temple on the rulers and, quote, all the Philistine people, unquote, is Gaza.
Yes.
What about Inshallah as a work of art?
Inshallah is extremely well made and displays a degree of thoughtful art that we find rare in current political films. Chloe is played by a Quebecois actor, Evelyne Beauchu, who has a wonderfully, absorptive face. She takes in the cruelty and suffering that surround her daily, and she's able, her face holds the moment beautifully, and the filmmaker, Barbeau Lavalette, is all right with extended close-ups and with silence. Chloe, to both Palestinians and Israelis, is white girl.
But the most dynamic acting performance, in my opinion, is by Sabrina Ouazzani, a French actor of Algerian descent, who plays the Palestinian Rand, emotionally open and courageous in the face of Israeli military might. We first meet her lying on an examining table in the clinic, yelling at the Israeli soldiers who have just burst in to search the place and exhorting her unborn son to do the same.
Yes.
And in another telling scene, Rhonda and her mother revisit the rubble of their demolished village home, walk through the ruined space, and giggle as they sit together in the spot where the toilet used to be.
The constant humiliation of the Palestinian refugee population forms the dominant motif of the film. After a nearby Israeli settlement is bombed, IDF soldiers come to the refugee camp and line up all the men at night. Barbeau Lavalette's camera pans the still faces one by one and questions them. Have they seen any men with guns? Of course, the interrogation ends with the question, are you glad this happened?
Another motif is the social chaos created by the occupation. The film is populated by children without parents and a parent without her child.
Are there any other aspects of the film that you'd like to mention?
Well, the dominant visual image in the film, besides Chloe's absorptive, reflective face, is the separation wall, spattered as it is with graffiti and enclosing large piles of Israeli garbage through which Rand and the Palestinian street boys pick for usable remnants. You know probably that some Palestinian towns spread netting over their streets to catch the garbage thrown down by Israeli settlers from the hills above. We never really get to see Israel. The few scenes at a cafe or club or at the checkpoint are shot in close-up and blurred by activity until the very end of the film, and then we see it by proxy in what probably is a fantasy.
Yeah. Safi, the child of Ron's family who has been picking up rocks throughout the film and banging them against the separation wall, breaks through the wall in this fantasy sequence at the end of the film and describes what he sees on the other side. But we are never allowed to see that prospect.
That other side.
How close can a Canadian filmmaker really get to the truth of life in the West Bank?
Well, that's a good question. I think Barbeau Lavalette's decision to show us the film through Chloe's eyes is a very wise one. Barbeau Lavalette has lived in the West Bank. Those of us who have no family or history in Palestine or Israel also see the conflict through Western eyes. We don't have any other eyes to see through.
Some viewers may criticize Barbeau-Lavalette's choice to make a Palestinian woman the bearer of violence, and some have criticized the limited picture of life in this West Bank as opposed to one in which women's solidarity might have widened Ron's horizons and rescued her from despair. But we very much admired the film's artistry and its truth. The terrible injustice of the occupation provides a tragic setting, and artists will use it.
Yes, they'll use it to make tragedies.
Well, thank you very much to both of you for coming in.
A pleasure, as always,
yes.
Jane.
Yes, our pleasure.
I've been speaking with Marty and Martha Roth, and they've been talking about the film Inch'Allah, made by a Quebec filmmaker.